It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, brought to you by Dr. Randy Walker, Simple Simons, Ayers Cleaners, and Leopard Care Clinic, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, to preview all areas of the upcoming football season, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
Welcome to the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, a brand new sports program sponsored by Dr. Walker and Walker Family Clinic, also sponsored by Martin Veterinary Services and the Ashdown Veterinary Clinic, and by Harris Drug and Gifts. A new program, Tony.
Tell you what, I'm excited to get it started. You know, our reasons for wanting to do something like this is our young people in Southwest Arkansas, we don't seem to get the exposure that they do in Texarkana, that they do in Hot Springs, Little Rock, Fayetteville. And our kids deserve it. They deserve it as much as any other kid. And we are bound, at least through the football season, to kind of get our kids' names out there, talk to some coaches who may not be interviewed by the media all the time, and just get some of our people some exposure.
Yeah, and essentially what the format of this program is going to be is, to start with, we're going to preview each team, and we'll go over those teams in just a minute, their seasons, who they're facing, what they had coming back from last year. And then each week what we'll do is we'll recap the previous game, and we'll preview the next game for each team. And those teams are going to be the Foreman Gators, the Horatio Lions, the Ashdown Panthers, the Dirks Outlaws, the Costot River Eagles, who are starting a new football program, by the way.
That's right.
And the Duquesne Leopards.
Right.
And you know, we've got a lot of exciting ideas. We won't throw them all out at you right now, but we've got a lot of things we're going to do over the year.
Yeah, we're going to talk to some interesting people, what we'll call quasi-celebrities in the yeah, in the state of Arkansas.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to it. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I'm looking forward to Tyler working his magic on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just looking forward to it. And you're not going to be able just to listen to it on the radio. This is going to be an actual podcast, the WatchTallPodcast.com. Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Audible, and of course you're going to be able to listen on KDQN Friday evenings at from 5 to 6 o'clock. We're going to be right there in the football lineup, the super football lineup that Jay Bunyard has put together before the Leopard games on Friday night.
Yeah, he's got 6 hours of great football each Friday night, and he's graciously allowed us to start that off at 5 o'clock.
Six hours of great football, yeah, and 1 hour of mediocre.
of us, yeah, 1 hour of us. Yeah, whatever you think about that. But you know, I think that, you know, as we move forward, I think you'll see that there's going to be one of our main focus is going to be on the kids.
Yes, that's exactly
and
right.
And that's what we want to do. We want to talk about the kids, and we want them to get the recognition that we feel like they deserve. We kind of somehow drop off the face of the earth here sometimes, but I think our teams deserve the recognition, and we want to give it to them.
Absolutely. We'll be picking players of the game, players of the week. At the end of the season, it is our goal to pick a Southwest Arkansas All-Star team and give our young people some of the recognition that they get around the state.
I think we can go on now, and let's talk about Walker Family Clinic and what they do. They're open 7 days a week, 7 to 7, 870-584-3000, and they're located at 1553 West Colin Ray Drive. They also have Ayers Cleaners at 621 West Gilson Avenue, 870-584-7128. For all your clothes needs, cleaning, pressing, starching.
Folding.
Whatever you need. And by the way, they will bill you if you don't go pick up your clothes.
Really?
They did that to me.
Did they really?
Yeah, but
did
that's
you forget
okay.
You had clothes over
I
there?
Still hadn't picked it up.
You still haven't picked it up?
But that's okay. I paid them. So we're good.
Well, they're probably going to send you another bill if
they will. I don't think they charge rent. They just charge you for cleaning them. So but anyway, also, and here's my favorite, Simple Simon's.
Yes. Mm.
The pizza place in the Queen. Right? At 924 East Colonnade Drive. You can order online at simplesimonspizza.com. They will even deliver to you if you're inside city limits.
If you're wondering, my recommendation is the pepperoni pounder.
The pepperoni pounder?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like the cheeseburger pizza myself. Yeah, but
they're
all great. Yeah, 870-642-4103. So remember all three of these businesses and help them out anytime you get the opportunity, because they're helping us out to bring these stats and these game information to you. We're going to start off the show by talking about the DeQueen Leopards and the new coach this year. Old Leopard, though, right?
Old Leopard, new coach Richard Bell. I've known Richard since I came to DeQueen. He's been a longtime Leopard assistant, and he's very enthusiastic, and his enthusiasm is infectious. Our young men seem to love him, and I think that he can be very effective as our new head Leopard.
Well, and I'm going to tell you something about it. He is Mr. Leopard.
Leopard.
He really is. I'm going to tell you, if you cut him, he bleeds black and gold.
Yeah.
I mean, he really does. And I think he's the perfect fit at this time to be the head coach of the Leopards. Coming off a tough season last year, 0-10, but returning several starters, got 8 offensive starters, 6 defensive starters. I think there's a lot of things to look forward to, and one thing that we'll talk to him about when we talk to him is that he's roamed the hallways.
Yes,
and he's picked up some players that way.
He has. We have several young men back out this year, didn't go out last year, and I think although the Leopards went 0-10 last year, they built a firm foundation, especially on offense. They learned a whole new offense, it is an offense, the wing T or whatever you want to call it, that not a lot of people run.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, there's probably maybe 10 schools in the whole state of Arkansas that run it. So you're throwing something at a team that it's going to be hard for them to mimic in practice.
Yep.
And the more you run that kind of, I like to call them academy offenses, because mostly the military academies run those offenses.
That's right.
The more you run those offenses, the better you get at them, the better you get at hiding the ball and play action, things like that. And I expect vast improvement on offense this year.
Yeah, and I think they call it the flex bone, don't they?
Yeah, I think so.
Wing T, flex bone. it's kind of all the same thing, yeah. Mostly a running offense designed to slow the game down.
Yeah.
Take more time on offense, limit the amount of possessions that the other team has. And one of the things we can talk about, even though they were 0-10 last year, they had several games that they were in right up until the very end. You talk about the first game last year, the opening game against Mena. We go up with 47 seconds left.
Yeah.
Left them too much time. They kick a game-winning field goal with the time running out. Got to give them credit. But a tremendous effort on our part. I think one of the things that that we can look forward to is improvement in those areas. Just a little bit would give us 2 or 3 wins.
Yes, I totally agree.
We were there with Lakeside. At the end of the year, we're there with Texarkana.
Yeah.
And so I think that those are 3 games there that we were in till the very end and just kind of wore out or
hope,
slowed
hope
down.
As well.
Hope, that's true. Hope too. And now we have with us the head coach of the DeQueen Leopards, Richard Bell.
You know, Coach, we've been talking about you before you came in the room, and it's all been good.
I doubt that.
but you're Mr. Leopard, man. I mean, you played at DeQueen. You've coached at DeQueen since I came to Arkansas. You've been on the DeQueen staff. You are, Mr. DeQueen.
One thing about being a hometown boy, is how I put it. I don't know about Mr. Leopard or Mr. DeQuinn. Definitely being a hometown boy and having the legacy football players. My grandfather was, again, middle linebacker and running back. My father was middle linebacker and running back. I was middle linebacker running back, and now my son is going into seventh grade, and I'm grooming him to play football. We're not sure if he's going to be middle linebacker and running back, but right now he's at fullback because we run the flex bone, and he's doing a good job. And really to be back home and be able to coach my hometown Leopards and to coach my son at the same time and to be a fourth-generation Bell Leopard, I couldn't be happier.
Man, that's really, really cool. Really cool. Coach, you are the seventh head coach of the Leopards in 15 years. I don't know if you've done the math and realized that or not. I hope you're here a long, 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 long time. But is there anything that makes that a little more difficult, at least starting out for you?
Well, again, like I said, you mentioned it, I've been here for 16 years. So I've seen every one of those head coaches. The one thing that there's pros and cons to being underneath a lot of head coaches for a coach. Me, some of the pros of being underneath that many head coaches is that you see what works and what doesn't work. And I'm not necessarily talking about X's and O's. I'm talking about, you know, how you treat your kids, how your program runs, what you expect in the weight room, your camaraderie. So things that I see that work, things that I see that didn't work. All these coaches that came before me, I thought that they had very good knowledge in football. So those were pros. The cons of having that many head coaches when I've been here is there's really no consistency in a program.
Right.
Those kids are, again, if you love a kid and you show him that you're going to be there for him and you show him that you have their back, they're going to run through a brick wall for you. And a lot of times these kids, and I'm not saying anything bad about these coaches that came before me, but a lot of times when you preach that to a kid and then you end up leaving, it lets that kid down a little bit. And so the kids, you can see it in their faces, and sometimes it bothers them. And the same thing when I told them, every time that head coach left, usually I was there to try to help the program and help the kids. And there's other coaches involved, not just me, that, you know, try to keep the wheels on the bus, keep rolling. So for me to have the conversation with the boys, and I always told them that all these coaches were leaving, that y'all can count on one thing. No matter where I'm at, head coach, linebackers, D-line, secondary, I'm going to be here. I'm not going anywhere because I made that decision a long time ago with my wife that I wasn't going to chase necessarily wins in a career on the wins-loss column. I was going to chase a program that I was proud of and kids that I love to be around, and that's DeQuinn.
I respect that so much.
Yeah, that's great. That's great, especially for DeQuinn.
Oh, absolutely. Again, it's a great place to live. It's a great place to raise your family, and I couldn't be happier than where I am right now sitting, being able to be there for those kids and tell them straight up that I'm not going anywhere. The only way I'm going to go somewhere is if somebody tells me I got to go, and then they're going to get me kicking and screaming. So,
well, let's talk a little bit about the offense. You got Cole Binkley back, and he scored 6 touchdowns last season. Your offensive coordinator is his dad, which makes for a special relationship, I think. You know, Cole may want to play PS5. Dad says, no, Cole, we're going to watch some game film.
Well, the best thing about having that combo, one, is that Cole and Coach Binkley, you know, they ran this offense at Derek's, their last spot. And so Cole doesn't only run the offense at home or at school. He's been doing it his whole life. So literally on the field, he's basically like another coach. He can tell if we need to audible, need to change the play. He knows it inside and out. And I guess being a coach's son and being in that offense since he was in seventh grade, now going to be a junior, you know, it's like second nature to him. Whereas these other guys, they're just coming in on their second season in it. And so, that's a big plus for us.
I was really impressed with Coach Binkley last year, his ability to stay calm when maybe somebody else wouldn't have been so calm.
Well, yeah, and one thing with Coach Binkley, and again with any coach, it's you don't really want to let the kids see too much frustration, you know, because one, they're kids and they're going to mess up. Not every play is perfect. So what I tell the kids is that there's two things that I can't coach. I can't coach attitude and I can't coach effort. You bring those two, we'll take care of the rest. So if they give me good attitude and they give me good effort, they're not going to get a big butt chewing if they mess up on a block or if they drop a ball, because no kid intentionally wants to drop that ball or miss a block, unless he's giving you no effort and his attitude's poor, he's hanging his head, he's on the sideline, he's not into the game, he's not mentally focused, that's also part of your effort. I tell him every day is that effort's just not physical. It's also mental. You have to not zone out when that quarterback's calling a play, or you cannot zone out when we're putting in a coverage. So attitude and effort, if they give me that and they still get their butt beat, I'm going to be a happy camper because they gave you all they could.
Yeah. Well, so you know, Coach Fannin was here for 1 year, and he brought this offense in, an offense that we talked about a little bit before, designed to shorten the game.
Right.
Not give your opponent as many possessions, take more time off the clock when you have the ball. So with that, do you see any dramatic changes this year? I mean, a lot more throwing the ball or anything like that?
Yeah. When I was in college at SAU, you know, this is the offense that we ran, and there was a coach or a player there named Trey Lavelle, and Trey applied for the head coaching job when Coach Cheshire got it. And I was, you know, really hoping that he would come in to run this offense, because I really do think this offense, misdirection, controlling the clock, going right at somebody, trying to get big plays. I mean, not worrying about the big plays as much as driving the ball down the field and having a 7-minute drive and scoring. Mm-hmm. So as far as it changing, that's still going to be our strategy, is make less mistakes than the other team. Don't put ourselves in a hole. Drive that ball, keep the ball. I don't care if it's 12 plays and we drive the field and score, I'm happy. If we bust a big play, that's great too. But what I want is us to get the ball, be mentally focused, don't jump, don't hold, do your job to the best of your ability and drive it down the field. And if we can control the time of possession, I think we control the game.
Yeah. Let's talk about a few of your offensive specialty guys, your wing backs, your fullback, people like that. I did see that Jackson Van Winkle's a little banged up right now.
Yeah, so Jackson right now, we have him starting at fullback, and I also had him play a middle linebacker, but for these last couple of team camps, I put in a sophomore, Jake Martin, at linebacker, because we don't have the luxury, as most teams do, of playing everybody one way, but if I can in places, that's what I want to do. And if Jackson can, you know, give us all he has at fullback, and Martin can give me all he has at middle linebacker, it's better than getting 50% of somebody tired.
Yeah.
So Jackson did get banged up in the team camp we had the other day. I just got his release form today that he is good to go.
Awesome.
It was kind of my choice to hold him out last week, again, because it was a team camp, and I really need him for Friday nights. But it was just a wrist injury that was nothing major, and he's good to go.
Replacing Trey Brown, big shoes to
big
fill there.
Big shoes. Trey Brown was one of my favorite players. He always had great energy. No matter what, you know, he was one of those kids that you never had to worry about the attitude and effort. Yeah. Replacing him is going to be big, but I think Jackson, again, if we can keep him fresh and keep him healthy, he's going to be a big one for us.
Out on the wings, you got Donovan Esther.
Yeah, we have Donovan Esther and Ulysses Cotto.
Yeah.
And they have both had a great summer at team camps. We've done 5 team camps, and everyone that we've gone to, both of them have scored a touchdown. Whether it be on red zone driving or catching a pass, they have both really exceeded. The main thing about this offense is that you got to read a lot of blocks. A lot of people want to bounce it out. A lot of people don't want to cut it up in between the tackles, or, you know, you got to read your guard or read your tackle and know when to cut up and know when to bounce it. And so having a year under their belt, they're getting a lot better at finding those gaps. Because as you well know, we're not going to get outside many times. So inside the tackles, 3 to 4 yards in a cloud of dust, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and doing a little quick math. I'm a math guy. Leopard line has a chance to average 230, 240 across the line. You got some good-sized young men on that offensive line.
Yeah, another thing we're excited about is the O-line. We have some guys. That is one position that I'm going to 100% try to make one way. So if they start on the O-line, I don't want them starting on the D-line, because we're blessed this year with linemen, O-line and D-line. Again, just like I was talking about the running backs, the O-line's ability to know and read the D-line and the linebackers on where they have to block is big in this offense.
Yes.
You know, are you blocking down? Are you leaving that man unblocked? Do I pick up second level? So all those things are starting to come together a lot better this year. And so with the addition of, you know, putting in our passing game, because last year we're just getting the X's and O's of where you're blocking on your runs. And we had a team camp this past Thursday where me and Coach Binkley sat down, and Binkley, which I didn't think was going to happen, but he made a decision not to run the ball a single time, and we passed it 17 times in a row and scored four times.
I was going to say, you probably caught some people off guard.
It was a new deal for us, you know, just trying to get everything. And now we're comfortable where we could throw it or run it 100%. And last year, we just weren't comfortable with running it yet. We just started the offense. And so now it's clicking on. We could be more of a double threat when it comes to that.
Well, I remember talking to Coach Fan and Ann Binkley last year, and they were saying in a lot of cases, it takes 2 or 3 years to get this entire offense in.
Well, the thing is, it's not if you're an offensive lineman, it's kind of odd for the coach to say, don't block that guy, let him go. You know, and you have to do that in this offense because, you know, he's your read key. And so a lot of times you may not block that guard or that tackle. You let him go because that's who the quarterback's reading. Or, you know, you got to go get the linebacker. And so that was a big step for those guys because in the past, you know, we did a lot of, you know, gap blocking and zone blocking, you know, so we didn't really leave them in unblocked. Again, if you leave the wrong guy unblocked, then the quarterback gets creamed. So you gotta make sure that everybody's on the same page, and I think that's happening.
Yeah, that's great. Well, if you go look at the schedule, the first game he plays Mena.
Right.
Great game against Mena last year. Came down to the very last play of the game. They kick a field goal and beat us 16-14.
Yeah, it was a soul crushing loss. I put you that way. It was we had them. I think they were on their 20.
We left them 42 seconds.
They had to go the whole way, and man, it was just they started airing it out, and we may have been a little bit too passive, but again, they had a great kicker, and I saw him when we were warming up. And I was telling Coach Fannin on the sidelines that we can't let that kid cross the 50. We can't let him cross the 50. And they completed a big pass.
Yeah.
And when they completed that, I was like, we're in trouble because I saw the kid kick. And to his credit, that was a big play for that kid. And it was a long kick for high school football.
It does remind me, what our kicking game coach, field goal kicker, I mean, we have a lot of kids that seem to be able to kick a ball.
Yeah, so what I did this year, one, because I know all the kids because I coached them in track and other sports and junior high football, I went to our state championship soccer team, and I said, look, guys, I don't want you don't have to be the best tackler. You don't have to be the best runner with the ball. I said, I'm not going to put you in drills and get you creamed. What I want you to do is come up here and learn how to kick that pigskin through a goalpost. And I have a kid right now that has said he was going to do it. His name is Rodrigo, and he's a very good guy. He came up the other day and was, you know, kicking 35, 40 yarders. And
that just gives you just an extra weapon.
Right. And so I hope those guys stick with it because, you know, a lot of them play fall soccer, and soccer is their love. And but a lot of them, you know, they love Dequan, they love the Leopards. And so if they can come help this team, they are. And I'm hoping that they stick with it because, again, you know, that's a big threat to have.
Oh, absolutely.
And also, you know, we're going to try to get them to, you know, kick it in the end zone so we don't have to worry, you know, as much about, you know, kickoff returns and stuff. So that's a big part. People think special teams is not a huge part of football, but, man, it's a lot of the game. A big mistake on special teams can cost you a game very quick.
No ball kicked into the end zone was ever returned for a touchdown.
Not a one.
I'll tell you, I statted for a coach at Hurricane who would kick a ball out of bounds every time. Every time he kicked a ball out of bounds, he'd look at me and he'd say, no ball ever kicked out of bounds was ever in return for a touchdown.
Yeah. Our big thing is we know you're faster than us, but if you don't have the ball, it doesn't matter.
That's right. Exactly right.
Well, so if going back to the schedule, Mena, this is going to be my opinion, winnable game.
Oh, yeah. I think Mena, again, we went to a team camp at Mena, and Mena has a strong team. And
15 returning starters.
Yeah, I mean, they have a strong team, and they look good. And I think, you know, us coming back, we lost some key players, but being second year in the offense and seeing how we clicked in those team camps, I think it's a very winnable game. Again, you know, anything can happen in football.
Sure.
But those are the ones, you know, we have Waldron, and then we have Mena. Waldron in the scrimmage game. We're not going to put any more emphasis on how we prepare for a Mena than we do a Little Rock Parkview, but you can see a lot of intensity in those kids when we play Mena at that team camp because they know they got them first game. So you can see them. They're pointing out who they got to block or what they got to do, and they're already strategizing. So I like to see that.
Great. That's great. Get after that game gets pretty tough.
Oh yeah.
Go to Ashdown the next week. You know, last year they beat us 45-0, and they're picked 13th in overall in 4A.
You know, one interesting stat about Ashdown is they've lost 7 games over 2 years, but every game they've lost has been to a quarterfinalist in the playoff.
Right. Yeah. Ashdown's always been a very tough team, and Coach Richardson does a good job with those guys, and he has usually one or two guys every year are going to go Division One. So he has a great team. But again, I'm that old school guy. I never really cared about how big a guy was or how good they were. I was going to bring them my best every game. And so again, if my boys give me the best attitude and the best effort every game, I don't care if I'm playing the New England Patriots. We're going to bring what we got.
That's exactly the way to look at it. Next game get the pumpkin heads.
Oh yeah.
Home opener.
Yeah. Home opener for the Queen, Nashville. Comes to the Queen.
Always
a big game.
Always. Yeah. If Nashville and the Queen are playing checkers, people are going to get excited about
yeah,
right.
I always get excited just, again, you know, being from D Queen and, you know, playing against Nashville my whole life. And then I even roomed with the Nashville Scrapper in the All-Star game back when I was in school, you know, and I was like, Coach, this ain't going to work. I said, I don't know if you – but, you know, me and Westfall end up being good friends and playing against each other in college. But anytime we play Nashville, there's a little bit of buzz in the town. Everybody wants to come see us and of course, see Nashville. And I think the last time we beat Nashville was at home in 2017, and that was another time that nobody gave us a chance to beat them. And we come out, and Hunter Ernie had an unbelievable game. I think he had 280-something yards rushing and returned
had over
punt.
400 all-purpose
right runs. Yeah, and he still rubbed it in my face today because he broke my single season rushing record. And I was like, buddy, I don't care who it was, I'm glad it was you, and I'm glad it was against Nashville. So yeah, that's always a big game. And again, I'll tell these boys every time, you never know what's going to happen in a game of football. Friday night, anything can happen.
That's good spot for an open week after Nashville. You like that?
Oh yeah. So always having a good time right before you start conference to kind of recoup and got any injuries, little bumps and bruises that you can take care of, and always watch film and try to fix the little things. You got more time that week, you know, and then we right. come back and we have Hope, which to me is another winnable game. We've always battled good with Hope, and I think that week going into conference, again, more time to watch film, more time to heal up, and just be ready to go. So, yeah, I love that opening week right there before conference play.
Awesome.
And you mentioned it already. The next game is going to be Hope.
Right.
Another game that we see is a game that, you know, at least in recent history.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
We've been competitive with
them. Oh, yeah, 100%.
You know, and I think that's another possibility for a win there. Of course, they've got 16 returning starters, so going to be a tough game.
Hope is always very, very physical, and they've always in the past had that stud quarterback that could run or throw and that could be a game changer, and they've given everybody fits, but, you know, at that position. And this year, I think they're going to have just an abundance of running backs. They have some big old boys in junior high that have moved up and, you know, just bowling balls. And so that's going to be big for us is slowing down that run against Hope. But, again, they're always going to have that one X factor. Hope usually does have that one kid that can really get up and go. And so I think, again, important for us in games, in any game, but especially those close games, you know, to control that clock. And if we get that ball in our hand and we don't give it up, and we don't have penalties, the back has put us in a hole, and we have it for 7 minutes and leave you 1 minute to score, again, I like our odds.
Then you get the defending state champions, Little Rock, Parkview. I guess the Chicago Bears were not available that weekend. Triple A always doing us favors. I have a lot of respect for Brad Bowling as a man, as a coach. I mean, they're tough customers.
Yeah, we went Coach Bowling last year. We went to War Memorial and played them. And he right off the bat, you know, they were just, you know, a superior team. Our kids, again, didn't shy away from any contact. But those guys, again, you know, they're picked to win it again this year. And,
yes.
And they're a very tough team. But to his credit, again, he's not the guy that's going to beat you by 80 because he can. You know, he put his guys in there in the second half. And, you know, it was almost a scoreless game second half because he had his, you know, his
third. I think it was scoreless in the second half.
He put his second and third string guys in there and got them some work and then actually helped us out to, you know, give us some work, you know what I mean? So any coach that does that, you know, is good in my book, you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's funny you say that. I mean, one of the things that Tony and I talk about a lot, you know, traveling to games and things, is we always wonder why coaches try to get to the mercy rule.
Right.
Because, you know, if you get up three touchdowns on a team and you put your second, third team in,
right,
then both teams benefit from that.
Correct.
Because you're getting your players a lot more time. Because when that clock starts running, there's not much time left.
Right.
You know, I mean, but if you just let them do that. But it seems like every coach, you know, they got to get that mercy rule going and get that clock running.
I promise you, every coach, no matter what the game is or what the situation is, when it comes to conference, you want to secure that win at all costs. So I can, you know, I can 100% agree with coaches that get to that mercy rule and then put their guys in. What I can agree with is those guys that, and I've seen it a bunch of times on film, you know, not just against us, but against other teams. There's guys that it doesn't matter what the score is, they're going to run it up 80 to 90 points, and, you know, that does no one any good.
That's exactly right. Well, Coach, man, we appreciate you coming in, talking about the first half of the Leopard schedule and your offense, and looking forward to having you back to talk about the second half of the Leopard schedule and the defense a little later on.
Well, I sure appreciate you guys.
Yeah, have a good day, man.
You too.
And we'll be right back with the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
All right, Tony and Greg here, and we're with Coach Dakota Barrett, the upstart Causatot River Eagles.
Brand new.
You know, the thing is, you get to do a lot of interviews. You get to talk a lot of football with a lot of people. I've never got to talk to someone who's actually at the genesis of a football program.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Starting
something brand new.
I cannot imagine.
Like birthing a baby.
That's exactly right. That's what it is. We're witnessing a birth.
That's right.
Up at Causatot.
That's right.
Okay. Well, Coach Barrett, what has been the biggest surprise? I know that this is probably your first upstart football program as well. What's been the biggest surprise to you, something that come totally out of left field?
Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, really, the whole thing's come out of left field for us, but – you know, I think what has surprised me the most is we've got 21 kids suited out and only two ninth graders. So that's 19 seventh and eighth graders.
Well, that's a great start.
That keep showing up. And I mean, I'm going to be honest, y'all guys, we put them through the ringer, and these boys just keep showing up. They show up for workouts. They show up for practice. And I think that has shocked me more than anything.
Man, that is awesome. You know, a football program, you think of all the programs that you could start out with, football's got to be the most expensive with the equipment, the facility you need to play football. How's that coming along? You have plenty of equipment, things to work with?
Well, I'll tell you this. First of all, I mean, I guess I'm kind of biased, but Causatot's, I mean, it's been an amazing school to work for, and they've really took care of us on this football program. But we've spent a lot of money, and you know, I think that was something that the school knew up front it was going to take. We still have lots of things that we don't have yet, and I think really kind of where we're at with seeing, is this program going to make, is it not going to make? You know, just in equipment alone, you can spend upward in $20,000-$30,000 depending on how you buy it.
At the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
it gets so expensive so fast. And I'll tell you this, some of the local schools around our area have reached out to us and helped with other equipment. And, you know, they've been really supportive of us starting this program, which has helped us tremendously.
That's great. I know that Superintendent Broyles has been really supportive of all the athletic programs there, but especially this program as you started up. And I know he's probably behind you 100%. And this is a program that's going to make. It's just going to, you know, like I said, any birthing process, there's some pain involved in it. And but I think there's probably going to be a it's going to be a successful program. You're just going to have to give it a little time, let it grow and reach maturity, which will take a little bit of time. And that's going to be, you know, something y'all can all be proud of when it gets there.
Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you, we went to team camp this last week, and it's the first, you know, meaningful snap any of these kids have ever taken. And I won't lie to you, we got our butts handed to us, and against some really good football teams. But I think I had the same thought every other coach there did that expressed their opinions with us, was that, you know, our kids lined up in the right spot. They never quit all day. They kept being physical. And today was our first practice since that team camp, and every one of my kids are here. They've all showed up back ready to work, and that just kind of shows you the kind of kids we got at Cossetot, and that's the reason this thing's going to work. Their parents are supportive, and at this age, y'all know as well as I do, if the parents aren't supporting it, you know, these kids have no way to be here in the summertime.
And, that's right.
They don't miss practices. They show up and they work, and listen, I think it's going to work. I wouldn't say it if I didn't, and it's going to work because of the kids we've got.
Great.
Well, Coach, our plan is to check in with you from time to time this season and keep an eye on the Eagles as you guys take flight for the first time, and we really appreciate you coming on with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, guys, I appreciate all y'all do and shedding a little spotlight on our Eagles here at Cossetot, and I can't thank y'all enough for that.
Have a great day, Coach.
Y'all too. Have a good one.
Goodbye.
Greg, that's really exciting, man.
Yeah, appreciate Coach Barrett and his interview and what he had to say about the Eagles. You know, it's going to be very, very interesting and fun for us to watch.
Yes.
As they start this progress or start this process from scratch.
Well, you know, that many 7th and 8th graders out, Cossetot's going to land in that 2A, 3A range. If you can get 10 to 12 athletes out per class starting out now, you're going to have good football numbers.
Yeah, they will. And I think looking forward to seeing that how they progress this year. Like he said, and they went to summer camp, got their hats handed to them. And I think that that's not to be unexpected.
No.
It takes a little bit of, even if you're great athletes, football is a different sport than other sports, so it takes a little bit of time to get used to that. And I think that as they move down the road, you're going to see just great leaps and bounds of improvement from these kids.
Absolutely, and we really appreciate it. It'll be nice to have that up close, a view of an upstart program.
Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the Dierks Outlaws. Tony, you look at Coach Paul Ernest, his first year last year, took them to a 9-2 record, a playoff appearance. They have 15 returning starters. This year they're picked third in the 3-2A by Hootons.
Well, you think about football in Southwest Arkansas, and you think about teams that have a little tradition, a tradition of success. Dierks is there.
Yeah.
Dierks has had a great tradition of success. I believe they've been to the playoffs four straight times.
Yeah.
And you just don't have a substitute for that. There's no substitute that you can put in for great experience as far as winning, as far as competing. And Dierks has that. They've got that winning tradition.
Going to be a totally different offense from the offense that they ran when Coach Fannin was over there 2 years ago. They run a spread offense. Interesting thing that, in reading in Hootons, and we can talk to Coach Ernest about this when we have him on the phone, but they've got a quarterback, a senior quarterback that has not played.
Right.
He's a basketball player, but he's come in and reading, done an excellent job on being, his accuracy's there, and his reading capabilities of reading the defense is there.
Yeah, Andrew Mack, he's also 6'3",
yeah,
which is a big help.
Yeah.
When you're a quarterback and you know he's a great athlete. On defense, they run the 4-4. I love the 4-4 mm-hmm. defense for high school football, where you have your four defensive linemen, you have four linebackers. If the linemen do their job, the linebackers get all the tackles. The only things that the 4-4 is susceptible to is the pass.
Yes.
And I'm sure that Coach Ernest has figured that out, and he'll let us know exactly what he's going to do about the 4-4 in the passing game.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at they got a senior running back, Rustin Simmons, he was on pace to have an outstanding year. Tore his ACL last year,
right?
But he'll be back this year. Also, they got an all-conference wide receiver in Jordan Hill, and you know, Juan Salazar, 246 return yards and 4.6 speed, just you know, outstanding all-conference player coming back. And then you got an offensive lineman in senior Kaysen Jewell.
6'3", 260, and already getting college offers.
All-state, so. Man.
yeah, so tell you what, looking good for the Outlaws this year. Hooton's got them picked third in the conference. I think that's probably low. All right, Paul Ernest of the Dirks Outlaws joins us. Hooton boys, coach, have you guys picked third in the 3-2A, coming off a 9-2 season, 15 returning starters. You don't have to say anything about this. I'll say it. Maybe third's a little low. You guys, I think, are set for a great season. Dirks has a great tradition of getting in the playoffs and doing something once they get there. How have the preseason workouts been, Coach?
I'll tell you, the preseason workouts have been pretty good. You know, I kind of take a little bit different approach to it. I like to give the kids during the summer more days off than on. So we're a 3-day on, 4-day off during the summer, and that's about to switch. So, you know, the kids, summer's winding down, vacations are wrapping up. Workout numbers have been pretty good as far as increases in strength and speed. And I've been really pleased with what we've gotten done at team camps. We from the first team camp to last team camp, it's kind of what my last weekend's been spent doing is evaluating where we were at in the first team camp to where we were at in the last team camp. And I'll tell you what, we got better. I'm pretty happy with it.
Well, you know, I think that that's a unique perspective about that many days off versus days on. Can you explain that? I think as a player, I would have liked that.
Yeah, you know, I've been in it a while now, I guess, and you know, and I've had that where we worked on every day but Sunday, and we'd come in on Monday, and yeah, and we'd do a 7-on-7 or a team camp on Saturday at the end of the week. And you know, honestly, to me, it was not just players but coaches as well. When the season hit, it didn't feel like season started. I was kind of looking for a way to maybe bring that magic back of the chill in the air and the cool in the fall and football season starting. And honestly, these kids are starting in late April, early May with spring ball, and then rolling through the summer. And then the AAA did a good thing mandating the 2-week dead period, I think, and kind of took a little bit of that out of our hands. But as I've gotten into it a little bit more, especially at small schools, I've seen our numbers drop a little bit because kids just, they want to be kids. They need to work. They need to do some things. And so, you know, to me, it's get the horses to the race a little bit. So we're going to put 3 great days in throughout the week. And then I'm going to give them a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday to go on vacation, spend time at the lake to be kids. And, you know, our numbers are good. So, that's really where that came from. And, you know, and it probably wouldn't work for everybody. And, it may not work for us this year. I'll tell you that. I mean, they picked us third. That's a drop from where we've been. And, you know, we're going to have to scratch and claw to finish there. And, you know, it's just what I believe in as far as kids, and follows our you know, priority list. We have a priority list of faith, family, future, and football. And I don't want kids to have to make decisions for football that's going to cost them family time, or going to cost them going to church camp, or, you know, even going to ACT school. All those things fall in front of football to me. And, you know, it's just the easiest way to not have to have those kids, you know, try to schedule around and have the stress of worrying about missing a football practice in June, to be honest. So that's what we do.
Well, Coach, I love that philosophy, and it may keep I remember being burnt out on football by mid-August, and you're right, the season hadn't even started yet, but it was kind of a 24/7 thing. So I really appreciate that mindset on it. Outlaws run the spread, quite a big difference from what they ran previously, kind of the flex bone kind of thing. Can you talk about from going from one, just making that a dramatic, a difference on offense as far as from the flex bone to the spread?
Yeah. I mean, at first it was, you know, I thought it was going to be a big adjustment. I'll be honest. I thought at first it was going to be a big adjustment, but, going in, I was told, a little bit about, you know, the kids coming back, and all the information I was given was spot on, great kids, work hard, physical kids. You know, question, you know, the ability to find a quarterback, that would be successful in the spread system and, all that going in. And then, you know, with the change in system, you're always going to get a couple kids that want to give it a shot, want to try it out because, maybe they had an issue with a previous, coaching staff, or maybe it just didn't do the things that, offensively that they felt like fit their skill set. And so, we had some kids come out that hadn't played, and one of those kids was Ryland Hill, who was a baseball player who's a really good baseball player, really good basketball player, athlete. And he came in and triggered our offense last year. He got hurt, missed four games with an injury, and you know, still threw for over 20 touchdowns. Still had a great year.
Yeah.
You know, it just seemed kind of seamless. The biggest adjustment was more me than them. I mean, I'm a spread to me is a formation. It's not as much a philosophy and a system. And flex bone can be both, I guess. I've run across coaches that run, you know, Mark King down at Magnolia and right. What they do at Harding Academy. I mean, those guys, flex bone, that's a system. To other people, they just line up in a double slot and call it the flex bone. And they're not really running, you know, midline, inside veer, and rocket toss, the three of the five major ones in that offensive philosophy. And, well, yeah, you know, these guys were a big buck sweep team, and I'm a buck sweep guy, so it married pretty well.
Well, you know, a lot of people think of the spread and they think of pass happy, but the spread done right when you, it's aptly named because you get that defense spread out. There's a lot of holes to run through as well.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. And I'll tell you this, and, you know, it's one of those things that I'm going to share it here, I guess, and it's going to be public, but, you know, we were 68% run last year, 32% pass. And, That's what actually got done on the field. But we went to our last team camp at the Queen on Thursday, and we had 37 total offensive snaps, and I called 36 runs and one pass, and we threw for three touchdowns, ran for two, and everything we do is you know, just trying to control the box. I don't like early on in our team camp settings, we'd call a run play, and we'd run it in there, and eight guys in the box and playing man coverage, and they'd smash my back in the face, and he's wanting to gripe at the lineman. And I'm like, it's not the lineman. He shut up. It's not the lineman. And, you know, we had a brand new quarterback, never played before. He's come out this year, and he is going to be, he's going to be special. And, I just don't screw him up. He'll be special. He's a smart kid.
You talking about Andrew Mack?
I'm talking about Andrew Mack. Smart kid. He's got great vision. He's got great physical tools. He's only ever played basketball and baseball, and for whatever reason, decided he wanted to give football a shot this year. And shoot, I wasn't going to turn that down.
No. Talk about an all-state athlete there.
Yes, sir. And he got it Thursday. It took all summer, and it took me not understanding. It was actually my fault, not even his. You know, it's kind of like I learned this. I got the opportunity to coach in two All-Star games this year. And the best way I can explain it is when you're coaching in an All-Star game, it's like being at a United Nations summit where everybody is trying to get something done, but everybody speaks a different language and there's no interpreters there to tell you that you're talking about the same thing. And I was talking to Andrew, talking football, and he doesn't speak football. And so it just took a little bit for me to come back from that and go, you know what? I've been talking to you in what I thought was plain English, but you've been hearing German. And so we sat down and we talked about it. And I'll tell you what, I mean, at our last team camp, right off the bat, we only called one run play the whole day, even though it was 36 runs and one pass, we called one run play. It was counter, and we called it 36 times. And I think we might have ran it 12 of those. The other 24, he's looking out there and making sure the box isn't loaded, the box isn't heavy for the running back. And basically what I had to tell him was, if you don't want to run it in there, don't make your running back run it in there. Find where we have the advantage and take advantage of that. And, boy, once he figured that out, it was nice. It was pretty to watch. It really was.
How about Rustin Simmons? I mean, he was averaging nearly 7 yards a carry before tearing his ACL last year, had scored four touchdowns. How's he doing?
He is fully released. He got fully released 2 weeks ago, and he's struggling a little bit offensively. And it's not the running. It's not even the trust in the knee, which is what I was afraid of.
Right.
It's the anxiousness of being back on the field in the sport that he loves, and he's pretty good at it. And so, you know, with what I just kind of talked you through on the quarterback and stuff, our running back timing has to be a little bit more patient. And he just wants to get the ball and go hit somebody. And, right. And I mean, he's doing a good job, but I think hopefully, and hope's really not a good strategy when you're talking about coaching, but hopefully he'll grasp it. He'll get tired of getting hit in the mouth, and he'll slow down a little bit to the mesh point so that he's slow before he has the ball in his hand. And then he's fast once he gets it there and give those linemen time to get to their blocks and let the play develop a little bit defensively. You know, kind of the same thing, a little anxious, out of position sometimes right now, knows what to do, knows how to do it. But by golly, he hadn't got to hit anybody in a long time, and that's where his mentality is. And so, sometimes he can get baited in, his timing's off a little bit, plays linebacker for us. And we've moved him to the outside a little bit because of, you know, our personnel, his speed is a little better than some of our other linebackers. So we've got him on the edge instead of in the middle. And, he wants to come play the run right now. And, you know, people keep sneaking people behind him, throwing RPOs off of him and all that. So, but as far as physically, I mean, I'm looking forward to the type of year he can have because he's slobbering at the mouth a little bit. He's hungry and he's a leader. He's a vocal and, performance leader. He's going to talk the talk, but I'll tell you what, if he tells you you're loafing, I can promise you he is not loafing. So he's allowed to tell somebody that.
Well, you know, looking down the rest of my notes about your offense and all conference, all state, all conference, talking about Jordan Hill, Juan Salazar, Kaysen Joel, Hayden Stevens. Just talk about your offense in general a little bit.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll start with Jordan Hill because I get to eat a little crow with Jordan Hill, and I'd like to get that out of the way at first.
Okay.
Jordan's a little bitty feller. He's not very big. He's probably 5'9", 145. He doesn't have breakaway speed. And I really tried with Rustin coming off his knee injury. I tried to put anybody else at running back so I could focus Jordan out at wide receiver. I kind of had visions of him, taking over, the role that Eli Sharp, who's going to be irreplaceable, played for us as an eraser. You know, he just wasn't getting the touches. And some of that was because our quarterback, honestly, you know, was still here in German when I was speaking. But, you know, he came to me at a team camp, I guess it was three team camps ago. And he said, "Coach, just give me a shot at running back. I mean, I've been a backup there and I think I can do a pretty good job there." So I put him there and called a play that I honestly thought was going to be a tough play to get executed against the defense that we were seeing at that particular rep. And, you know, he proved me all right by making the first guy miss and going about 55 for a touchdown on his first carry. And so, I said, "Well, let's put you back at running back." So we've kind of had a shuffling of, personnel. And I tell you what, that kid is, I don't know what he's made of, whatever he is. He's not made of the same stuff I am, because I've seen that kid get hit and bounce back up and play and then hit people and bounce back up and play. And, my dad, likes to watch him play, and my dad calls him Gristle. So,
yeah. Scrap iron, something like that. Yeah.
So, he's going to have a great year for us. Some of our other returning players up front, we got to talk about those guys. I'll get back to skill guys, but, we got two guys that were on the Hootons, 2A, super team.
Yes.
In all state returning tackle, Kaysen Joel, who, you know, he's got the right kind of nasty. I mean, he is a whistle to whistle nasty guy, and then he will get up, help you up and walk back and say, "Hey, we're going to do it again." And I just love that about him. He doesn't feel the need to keep it going a long time after a whistle. He doesn't talk a lot of trash. But I'll tell you what, he is a physical and smart offensive lineman. He does a great job with his pad level, even though he doesn't really have to sometimes because he's bigger than a lot of the kids he's going against. But the biggest thing that he brings to us is, took me a while last year in year one. I trust my coaches and I trust my players probably almost to a fault. And, that was new, I think, to some of them, but particularly him. I want to hear what they have to say about why a play is not working. They're on the field. They're seeing it. And it took Kaysen a little while to understand that I really am listening to him and I really want to know his opinion on, you know, where we need to be focusing our point of attack. And once that happened, the biggest way I can kind of explain it is in the Poen game. We had rushed for over under 50 yards in the first half. And at halftime, I got Kaysen over on the board and I'm like, okay, you need to tell me what you're seeing. I think it's a five man box and we're not able to run the ball. I know something out there is going on that I'm missing. And, you know, Poland's field is a really great field. Their stadium, their press box is pretty low. My coach in the box couldn't really see what he needed to see to give me information.
Right.
And Kaysen drew up what it was. And all it was, you know, we were trying to run the ball out into B and C gap, and they were lining up and then moving into B and C gap. So they had done their job. Their coaches are good, and they had done their job knowing that counter and some of those plays are off tackle plays are what we want to make our money with. And we just adjusted one block and adjusted the running back path one hole more narrow and told him changed his eyes on who he reads. And we go out and run for over 240 in the second half and come back and win the football game. And you know, Kaysen did all that. Kaysen got up on the board and showed me where they were. And then I asked him what he thought, even though I knew I wanted to lead him to water a little bit.
Right.
And he said, well, I just think we need to run an A gap. And I said, okay, we'll make sure that they know that. Let's get our offensive line together when we get ready to meet. And let's make sure we got that adjustment made on these two plays. And, you know, that's the kind of thing he brings all the time. And he's a special kid that way. He wants to coach now. I'm trying to talk him out of that. I don't want to live a life of poverty and ridicule, but he wants to coach now. And you know, I'm doing everything I can to talk him out of it while I'm helping him at the same time. And then the kid that just shocked me, I mean, just absolutely shocked me from day one to the fact that he was put on a super team anywhere is a kid named Hayden Stevens.
Right.
Hayden, last year, when I first got here, our first day of pass protection, he's playing guard, and I just no way, shape, or form this kid's going to play guard. But he's here, and I'm going to work with him. And he's too small, and you know he's just very passive, kind of acting, and no chance. And then we go out the first day, and I put him in some blitz pickup stuff. He does a great job. I mean, great job. And I'm thinking, okay, he might can play a little bit there, but he's still too small. And then just to prove a point at the end of the day, and try to give him something to go home to work on because it was really honestly too good for first day of pass protection. And I throw a very hard tackle and cross with a blitz coming up through the middle of it. And Hayden picks up the first guy as he crosses his face, sees the linebacker come, shifts his body, and crashes the guy he picked up first into the linebacker and blocks both of them. And I'm like, I've not ever seen that before. I mean, I honestly just had never seen anybody see it that well and then understand I can't block both of them, but he's going to have to run through this guy that I'm currently blocking to get there.
Right.
And from that point on, I was like, hey, this kid's going to be able to play. And then we moved him to center. And, I mean, now it's just really quite unbelievable. I mean, he sets all of our pass protections. Kaysen Jewell handles the run game stuff, and he does that off of Hayden's box calls. So Hayden tells everybody on the offensive line and then the running back and quarterback what the box looks like. Quarterback makes his adjustments off that, whether he needs to throw the ball or run the ball, which is every play for us. So every play is a run or a pass play pretty much. But and then, you know, Kaysen makes a call that adjusts it to what type of blocking we need on the, you know, on the edge of our offensive line. So there's quite a bit of communication that happens with those two. And, you know, both mentally and physically, they are on point. They are really good football players.
And some colleges have been in touch with Kaysen. So if he wants to start, you know, wants to think about playing at the next level, that possibility could be there for him.
Yes, sir. He was invited to prospect camp at OBU and he left there with, you know, some things to work on. And, he went down to, UAPB and got some great information down there and actually received an offer. So right now he's got one offer on the table from UAPB, and we're really working trying to get him, you know, noticed by some of these others. He's got some interest from some out of state schools,
right?
But you know, just honestly, some of that stuff with him is of no interest. He's from a farm family. It's important for him to be able to come back and, you know, be near family, if not you know, working on the farm than just being he's real tight with his brothers and dad and whole family. And he doesn't want to go that far. So, you know, we're trying to focus that kind of stuff someplace that, that suits him both academically, you know, athletically, and then also culturally, because, you know, you just can't take a small farm kid out of Derrick's and put him in the middle of UAPB and think they're going to prosper. So, you know, he loves UAPB, likes it there, but I think he has a little bit of aspirations to maybe get into ag a little bit, maybe an ag business or something like that if he's not going to go into coaching. So, you know, we're excited for him. He's a great player, and he's got a lot of opportunity.
Coach, before we move on to defense, Juan Salazar, he kind of caught my eye in the Hootens article. 4.6 speed, 250 yards receiving last year.
Yeah, we're – Dadgummit, I really wouldn't want to talk about Juan because Dadgum Juan, because Dadgum Juan's going to be overlooked, and he might be. I mean, I've been around it. There are kids.
If you're playing Derrick's this year, just turn down your radio right now.
That's right. You know, I got the opportunity to coach some really good wide receivers when I was at Nashville, and I coached some all state wide receivers at other places, and all of them had bodies that Juan doesn't have. None of them have the skill and talent that Juan has.
Wow.
Juan understands space. Juan understands releases at the line of scrimmage, how to manipulate your coverage rules against you to get open. He is mentally a well-advanced wide receiver. And as a sophomore last year, he started for us, but he had Andrew Hill, Eli Sharp, and McKay Smith. Right. You know, three targets that were upperclassmen with an upperclassman quarterback who, you know, just really, really, they were the primary targets. And so I looked for Juan. We've moved him all over. Like I said the other day, or like I said earlier, our last team camp, I don't really remember quite. I've got it written down in my notes or on the computer in my notes, but I don't remember how many balls he caught. But if we threw it 20 times, I'm going to say he caught 15 of them.
Right.
And he had two touchdowns. And those were all on run plays, even though we never handed the ball to him. And, you know, he's going to be our perimeter adjuster. If you don't make some kind of adjustment for him that weakens your box in some way, shape, or form, we're content to throw it to him 55 times. He's a tough kid. Him and Jordan Hill are best friends, kind of peas in a pod. They go around together. I don't know that I would want to run into either one of them on the street if they were mad, but they're both tough kids. And I really enjoy it. We got, I think, Andrew Mack, and we got a young freshman quarterback, sophomore now, Peyton Beckman, who figured it out as well. And I think that those two guys are going to suit those two quarterbacks well moving forward.
Well, you know, we'll move it to the other side of the ball. I mentioned to Greg in one of our early conversations, I love the 4-4 defense. And I look at your stats, and this is exactly why I do. Your linebackers, Dogan, 110 or 101 tackles last year, 3 sacks. Kersey, 96 tackles. Simmons, 68 tackles. A couple of them all conference. And when that 4-4 is done right, man, it really unties those linebackers to make a bunch of tackles.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have. I mean, last year we had another one that was a really good linebacker named Jacob Sims that graduated, and we're going to miss him. But Grayson Kersey and Kason Dugan on the inside, they kind of split time inside and outside with Rustin Simmons.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you what, those guys are they're linebackers. I mean, if we were a 4-3, we'd have two really good Mike backers.
Well, those guys nearly have 300 tackles between them. I mean, you can tell that they have a nose for the football.
Yeah, they are physical guys. They love defense, which is great. A lot of times you run into, you know, in the systems that I like to run, a spread system, you get a lot of guys out that want to play over there on the pretty side. Not many want to get over there where the snot bubbles fly. And I mean, I'm just pretty fortunate that Derrick's is kind of place that kind of has those kids coming up through. They love defense, and both those guys can run pretty well. They are physical. Right now, what their biggest thing to do is where they've got to improve the most coming out of summer is trusting their eyes a little bit. They I think in the past with the systems that they've been playing, they kind of come up in. There was more flow read and less guard read, and I like for my inside linebackers to read a triangle, which is the near guard into the backfield, to kind of get a little bit of both information. So they've had to play, they've had to learn it a little bit over again. I'd say Grayson is ahead in the reads, and Kaysen is ahead in the when I see it, I'm just going to go and I'm going to hit anything in my path. He's a kind of that kind of kid.
Right.
So we've made some defensive advancements in the summer that I've been really, really happy with. Our first team camp was a debacle. It was awful. we put Kaysen Jewell at nose, and we were playing more of a 3-3 stack. And by formation, sometimes we were making adjustments into a 3-4. And we gave up over 9 yards of carry in our first team camp. And when we got into film on Tuesday, it was not one of those films anybody wanted to sit in. It's not fun for coaches. It's not fun for players. Everybody gets their feelings hurt. But, you know, including me. I mean, one of the biggest things about feelings hurt was, you know, the getting on the linebackers for them to tell you they don't really understand what they're seeing when you have, you know, you got a four eye and you got a nose and they're not really sure how to fit. They're not really sure what they're seeing. And you realize you've made it harder on them. You've taken, right. You know, you've basically put paralysis by analysis on your two guys that are instinct feeders. And,
right.
You know, you gotta let your sharks eat. And so we moved Kaysen off the nose a little bit, playing him in a more of a one technique. He likes that better because he only sees double teams. He was seeing a lot of triple teams. And, then we've got another kid that plays defensive line for us. Two of them, actually, they're big kids, strong kids, good-looking kids in pads. They're always last off the bus. I'm trying to get them to sit in the first seat so they get off first. But, Coulter Simmons and Matt Barber are two kids that are playing our three technique right now that are both good football players. And since we've made that move, our two, Kaysen and Grayson, Kaysen, I'm sorry. Dugan. It is Kaysen Dugan.
Yes.
I keep wanting to call him Cameron. I had his uncle one time named Cameron. Those two guys are seeing the guard action much clearer and reacting better. So our defense went from 9.2 or something like that a carry to one team camp all day long. Positive rushing yards. We gave up 8. So,
wow.
You know, we're pretty pleased with how they're playing right now. And then on the edge, again, Rustin Simmons and Jordan Hill are playing our outside linebackers in team camp. We got another kid named Colton Gadberry that just moved out there that's having a really good summer against the run. He's still trying to figure out his drops on the pass and where his eyes go, but he's going to get some time. He's going to be able to play. We just got to do a better job of coaching him up and getting him ready. So I feel really good about our linebackers. Our biggest weak point right now is we can't identify – from team camp yet who our defensive ends are going to be. We thought we knew. We have one kid that hasn't been with us all summer that we know can play defensive end.
Right.
But, you know, until you get him on film, we've got to see. And he'll get back from his summer stuff, you know, right about time practice starts. So we're anxious to get him back. And then we got a freshman, a sophomore. I keep calling him freshman, sophomore, who played quarterback for us, Peyton Beckman, that asked. He's one of those kids, wants to get on the field, asked if he could give a shot at defensive end, and he really doesn't know how to play defensive end, or he didn't. And he took to coaching and at team camp every time he gets better. And, you know, he's going to make us question, you know, his body type is you know, he's lost some weight, so I'm worried about that. He's down to somewhere in that 140 range.
Right.
He was at 162 or 3, and he just grew and didn't gain weight with it. So now he's taller but thinner. And then we got another kid, a junior named Jaron Hill, that broke his arm last year playing defensive end, and he's doing a good job there, but he still has a hard time trusting the technique. So all of those things, you know, in the 4-4, if your defensive ends aren't disciplined in their scheme, you can have some trouble. You can have some people up on your linebackers while they're getting kicked. You can have some,
right.
You know, it really doesn't matter what you do with them as long as it's in the structure of your defense and everybody knows where they fit, but it's got to be consistent. So that's what we've got to get from them is consistency.
Coach, do I dare ask about Juan Salazar as a defensive back? Do you not want to talk about that? Or
No, I'll talk about Juan as a defensive back. He played outside linebacker for us last year, and, you know, he's moved to defensive back this year. We graduated all of our back end, and they were good. I mean, we saw 719 snaps last year, and 539 of them, I believe, were runs. And you know, teams beat us on some deep balls a couple times because those seniors were, boy, they wanted to go make a play on the hitch on 3rd and 14. I hadn't figured that out yet, but they'd go try to make a play on a hitch, and a hitch and go get them. We got some beat on that stuff, but as far as people being able to, you know, just nickel and dime us down the field in the passing game, that didn't happen. But we lost all those guys, and so now we're trying to find, you know, a group of guys that can cover and tackle that aren't liabilities in one side or one aspect of the game or the other. And so we moved Juan back there, and early on, it's what you'd expect from a kid that's been playing linebacker. He wants to, you know, slow read, and meanwhile, the receiver's running by him. And but you know, he got better all summer. I don't know that he's been beat deep all summer since that first camp. And then you know, the other side of it, we got another young sophomore named Alex Roberts that, if you talk to anybody in our conference that played us in junior high, our junior high was a 1-9, not very good. We made a lot of mistakes in junior high. We had 2 seventh grade offensive linemen starting. We had 3 eighth grade offensive line starting. So physically, mature wise, we just weren't very good up front. Those kids are better now. I'm kind of anxious about it now, but, Alex Roberts was a kid that you had to block him, and he was going to get the ball 90% of the time. And he's working at free safety for us, and he has got a tremendous motor, and he does a great job there. And then we're trying to identify the other corner. We've got Caleb Woodall, who is a junior that's repping there right now, along with a couple sophomores. Senior Trent Holcomb has come out. He's also going to give us some time at wide receiver and probably at corner. And then, you know, the coach's favorite is Ben Ernest. So, you know, we got to kind of play coach's favorite a little bit there. Nobody in the world would believe that, because if Ben can be on the sideline and something happened, and I'm going to yell at Ben. So, he gets a little flustered by that, but he's developing into a pretty good wide receiver and defensive back. So,
builds, you know, character.
We think we've got some people. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to build some pieces with him, and I got to try to do something to keep my wife from yelling at me all the time.
Well, Coach, we won't tear apart your whole schedule. I have highlighted some of the games, and when I was looking why you guys were picked third, the schedule may have something to do with it. So I just want to talk to you a little bit about your upcoming schedule. Week 0 versus Falk. You know, Falk, they can be a tough bunch, too. They're picked third in the 5-3A. And not an easy opener, I wouldn't think.
No, they're they're definitely not an easy opener. They are one of the most well-coached teams, mm-hmm, in what they do that I've gone against at any level. There's another one on our schedule that's the same way in Conway Christian, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, but Falk is kind of hard to understand because, as a coach, because sometimes, you know, you can put a film in and you can say, hey, we can out physical these guys. They're faster than us. They're better than us. We can out physical them and kind of take their spirit away. Can't do that with Falk. They are as tough and physical of a team as you'll find. And then they also execute the finesse stuff really well. So you better be right. You better be right and physical when you're playing them. And then defensively, they get after you. They will play a 4-3 quarters coverage look, and they're going to bring those 7 a lot. They're going to give you some stunt trouble up front. They're going to try to banjo on the back end and switch routes, and you know, just make reads tough on quarterbacks. And they do it all, like I said, while being disciplined and physical. So, you know, last year we were able to you know, sneak out a win against them at our place, and this year we got to go down to Falk. And yeah, you know, it's always
a tough road schedule.
Out. Yeah. And, you know, so we got our hands full there, and they had a really good junior high group coming up with a ton of speed. So they're going to be much better. So week 0 game is going to be a tough one for us.
Week 2, the Go Devils have to travel up there. The only regular season loss last year, and they're always a tough bunch.
Yeah, I Coach Jackson and I – we coached together at Nashville, and we've spent a lot of time visiting with each other through the years. And now we're playing each other first time last year and this year. So You know, it's been a little bit different between us, but I tell you what, I got more respect for Coach Jackson and what he is able to get out of his kids on both sides of the ball. You know, that wishbone look, they come at you and they're physical because that's who he is.
Right.
He is a, you know, his dad, Eddie Jackson, is a legend in the state of Arkansas, and he coaches a lot like his dad. And they're going to get after you, and they're going to, you know, great athletes. I think they might be in a little bit of a down cycle from what they've had, but, you know, they're still in that scheme for, you know, over a decade. And in their defensive scheme, they're 4-3, cover two. They are not going to vary much. You know where they're going to be, and daggummit, there's still not much you can do about it because they're just so good at it. So, you know, that's, we got our hands full there. So, you know, it's a test in that non-conference schedule. And like I said, Conway Christian, Coach Kramer,
right?
You know, they ran a scheme at us last year on offense that I had never seen before. And then on defense, they ran a defensive scheme I've only seen twice. Once from Shiloh Christian and once from P. Ridge when they went to the finals, and they executed it and gave us trouble. And they had us down pretty good at halftime, and I went in at halftime and I said, I'll tell you what, we're just going to put it behind our offensive line, and we're going to run the ball. And I don't care that we're down two. I think we were down three scores at the time. We're going to run the ball, and we're going to tackle better, or it doesn't matter what we do. And we were able to go out and get some big run plays and sprinkle in a couple passes here and there, and able to inch out that win. But, you know, they come to our place, and that's going to be an advantage. But I'll tell you what, their quarterback is a dude, just a junior. They ran an A-gap kind of buck sweep read scheme I've not seen before. So, you know, I actually called Coach Kramer and just asked him if he would talk me through it a little bit. And he was gracious enough to do it. A lot of coaches won't do that, but
right.
he basically told me, you know, where he got it and how it developed. And we didn't see it on film. He didn't plan on running it, and they had been practicing. He was wanting to save it for conference. But, you know, I think we came out and were playing them pretty well defensively at first. And then when he put that play in action, they started really hurting us. So, you know, they're going to be a handful. Built a new facility up there, new weight room, new indoor, new everything. So they're going to attract some kids in Conway. And, you know, we know there's some pretty good athletes in Conway. So,
well, and then
the non-conference season ought to get us geared up. It either ought to break us or get us geared up, one of the two.
Well, you know, you got heading toward the back end of the season, probably where the 3-2A conference is going to be decided. Week 6 at Mineral Springs, 18 returning starters, Brock, from a very good football team. Hootens has them picked first. And then week 8 at Mount Ida, Hootens has them picked second, but they only have 5 returning starters. That's the part of the Hootens pick that didn't make sense to me. I really thought y'all should have been in that 2 spot, at least a preseason. Talk about those two teams and how big those games will be, both on the road.
Yeah, I'll start with Mount Ida because that one's pretty easy. Mike White. probably, you know, the best small school coach in the state right now, and maybe right there behind, or maybe even with Frank McClellan at Barton. I mean, just an unbelievable disciplinarian, unbelievable coach, and being able to get his kids to believe and buy into a style of football that honestly most kids don't even want to come out and play in anymore. I mean, it's really difficult for me. And even coaching wise, really difficult to come out and push a sled for 2 hours and, you know, dive in there and get hit in the mouth for 2 hours and keep kids out. So that 5 starters, that might seem like a few, but I'm guaranteed they've got some kids out there that can run the split back veer exactly like the other 22 that graduated and play that 4-4 defense.
Right.
So, 5 starters is not, it's Mike White and, anybody. Mineral's ranked number 1, and they deserve every bit of it. They have got some dudes. You know, the quarterback, Evan Irwin, has grown probably half a foot and put on 40 pounds of muscle. He looks like a dude. You know, the Ramaj Ware, tremendous running back. And then KT Thomas, Travion Thomas, he rushed for over 205 against us last year. They've gotten a couple transfers in. They got running back started for Nashville playing over there now. Javion Fricks is a Division I recruit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I coached all those kids, and we went 0-8. we went 0-8, and I was did not do a great job of getting the horses to the race. And I'll tell you what, when I left, I knew that those kids were coming. I knew that those kids were going to be dudes. I knew that those kids had a character that was a little bit different than what, you know, the kids in front of them had had. And Coach Hathcock does a great job of getting it out of them and adding to it. And they're going to be a handful. They are rightfully, you know, all the hype is right. So they're as talented as anybody.
Well, Coach, you know, when we first started the idea of this show and I reached out to coaches initially, you were one of the most enthusiastic, and you continued to be. And this has been a great interview, and we'll be talking to you throughout the season. And we really, really appreciate your time.
Well, I really appreciate what you're doing for the kids in Southwest Arkansas. I mean, we look in the papers, you know, the kids look in the papers, kids say things. And a lot of times, you know, the schools that you're talking about and you're focusing on, we're kind of afterthoughts. We're not big, so we don't get the glamour. And then, you know, we're not making, we're not selling areas. Our towns are so small. And by you just taking the time out to focus on these small school kids and highlight them makes them feel a little bit like superstars. So really, you know, I appreciate it very much. And I thank you very much. And I guarantee all the other coaches in our conference and in this area you're covering feel the exact same way because we've talked about it. So thank you.
Thank you, Coach Ernest. You have a great day.
Yes, sir. You too.
Tony's been a great first week for the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
Yeah.
And just having a great time. Got to talk to Coach Richard Bell with the Leopards. Yeah. Great interview. Talked about the offense quite a bit. What he expects, you know, the new kids that he's got coming out and everything. Really, really excited about his program and what's going to happen this year. Looking forward to seeing what's going to happen with that.
You know, what really came out in the interview with Coach Bell and Coach Paul Ernest, who did a great job on his interview, was that they are very excited about the upcoming season. And I think they're very excited about their kids getting mentioned, some publicity, some hype, and we are happy to do that.
Sports Page on the Air brought to you by Walker Family Clinic, by the Queen Animal Hospital, by Ashdown Vet Clinic, and by Harris Drug and Gifts. And this is the finale for this week. Tony?
Had a great time.
Me too.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.